Just days after the nation saw an image of an upside-down flag outside of the home of Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito in the days after January 6, a symbol of the Stop the Steal movement, a new photo tonight raising yet more questions. The New York Times publishing images of a pine tree flag outside of Alito's New Jersey beach home last summer with the words, "Appeal to Heaven." Like the upside-down flag, the pine tree flag was carried by some pro-Trump supporters on January 6 as the Capitol was attacked. Tonight, it's unclear who allegedly placed the flag and what kind of statement was being made. The flag, which dates back to the Revolutionary War, has also been associated with Christian nationalism. Supreme Court justices are supposed to avoid the appearance of political bias. And Democrats argue Alito has a conflict of interest and should recuse himself from two January 6 cases now before the high court, including one which will resolve whether President Trump has immunity from prosecution.
All right, Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. I ran across that little jewel today and I just had to play it. So, well, let's see. It was a pine tree flag and it had the words "Appeal to Heaven." The Alitos were flying that around J6, and it's a conflict of interest, and so he must recuse himself. I have never heard such ignorance, which is what we see really displayed in our reporters these days. They really, really don't have any understanding of history. Yes, it was a revolutionary flag. He did kind of throw that way out as an aside. That's pretty important. It's a historical flag. It's not, the Alitos, whoever put that up, is aligning themselves with the revolutionary forces in our country. Appeal to heaven. They're aligning themselves with praying to God. But that's terrible to MSNBC, and that is where we find ourselves today. And also, then he throws in represents Christian nationalists. You know, that's a term that they've just invented in the last a year maybe? It's ridiculous. Christian nationalism. And yeah, you know what? I am one. I'm a Christian. I'm a nationalist because I really love my country. And I do because America is my family. I love my family too, by the way. So yeah, I'll happily say I'm Christian nationalist if you want to make up that term. You mean it. The left means it as a pejorative. But it's not a term that's even a legitimate term except for their slander. But it's ridiculous, it's silly, and yet that's what the left is doing. Well, today we're going to talk about how the left is coming after the Supreme Court and how that relates to the upcoming election, because we do have an election coming up very soon. I know you know that. And I want to explain to you today with some help about why it's so important that you vote, what's at stake, some tools to help you prepare for that election. And I'm going to have that discussion with Walker Wildman, who's the vice president of the American Family Association, and Bill Jaregi, who's the senior counsel and director of the Center for Judicial Renewal. Really interesting stuff, and I hope you'll stay tuned to listen. But first, let me remind you that abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death for the fifth consecutive year in 2023, despite the overturn of Roe v. Wade. Tragically, this total is greater than the number of deaths attributed to the next seven causes of death combined. And sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at an even greater risk now. And that's why the need for preborn. Preborn reaches the moms to show them their babies inside the womb via these ultrasounds. They reach them not only to save the life of the baby, but also save the heart and meant sometimes the life of the mother herself. If you would like to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. You know you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, Truth Social. You can find us on YouTube also. Sometimes we do things on camera. You can go to AFR.net and listen to the podcast. That is Home Base American Family Radio. You can go to SandyRios.com and find it, or you can go to any podcast platform. Okay, so live, well, not quite live, but I'm live as I'm talking, from the studios in Tupelo, Mississippi. This is Sandy Rios. Stay tuned for today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Certain Supreme Court justices are back in the news and not in a good way. The ethics scandals we've been reporting on are continuing to cascade. Senate Democrats have found three more secret luxury trips that Clarence Thomas took from Republican megadonor Harlan Crow. Crow's own records, which, pursuant to oversight, had to be turned over to the Senate committee here, show what you see on your screen. Thomas flying on his private jet on these trips, and this dates back to 2017 and 2019, Washington to Georgia, and a third newly revealed trip between Washington and California, crisscrossing the country in private jets on a billionaire's dime. This is not how most people live. ProPublica, the first outlet to report on all of this, and they revealed that for over two decades, Thomas has been taking these luxury trips. Some reported, most, though, secretly hidden. Thomas facing mounting scrutiny. You see this here. There are problems, and then there is Clarence Thomas. This is a level of grift that, as you've heard me say before, any member of Congress would be in trouble for, but apparently these justices see themselves as quite literally above the law and the rules. Meanwhile, the man who is hiding secret luxury travel and private jet travel that outstrips all of his colleagues appointed by both parties also likes to lie and claim that what he really prefers is to stay off the airplanes altogether, to say nothing of private jets, and go to RV parks.
I prefer the RV parks. I prefer the Walmart parking lots to the beaches and things like that. There's something normal to me about it. I've come from regular stock, and I prefer that. I prefer being around that.
No, he doesn't. I can't stress this enough. The way that Clarence Thomas, almost more like a politician or some, you know, corporate figure, has laundered this and publicly misled about what he prefers is itself a kind of tell. Because while he was giving these interviews and while he's talking this up, he also knew he was hiding these luxury trips. And again, you can criticize justices for all kinds of reasons. Most of them do not go out of their way to buddy up to billionaires and then hide luxury jet travel. It's not actually what most of them do.
All right, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, that's about Justice Clarence Thomas, who is arguably the most conservative justice on the court. And you may or may not know that the left is after him with a vengeance, and also Justice Alito and Alito and others in various ways. But those are the two that are getting the most. Why am I talking about this today? Because we have an election coming up, and there is so much at stake, not the least of which is Supreme Court justices. We have seen recently they've made some incredible decisions. I think some of us that were a little negative on the court and the way they were going have seen them come around to really be much more constitutional in the last several decisions. So the left can't stand that. And if the left comes into more power in the White House and the Congress, it's going to be a nightmare for all of us. Okay, so we're going to talk today about what's at stake in this election. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court and what American Family Association is doing to counter this. By the way, I'm sitting in the studios at Tupelo, Mississippi, in a studio. I haven't been in a real studio in a long time. I'm always by myself in my house. And so this is kind of fun. This reminds me of the old days when I actually was in radio. Sitting next to me is Walker Weilman. Walker is the vice president of American Family Association. He's also the CEO of AFA Action. Welcome, Walker.
Thanks for having me on, Sandy. And to quote Clarence Thomas, I like hanging out with the regular folk. And in North Mississippi, we hang out with regular folk.
You know, the truth of it, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'd encounter any of that. You know, Clarence Thomas and his wife, Jenny, they have an RV, and that is what they do.
Every year.
And they love it. So this guy on MSNBC, of course, knows better. That's a lie. And Harlan Crowe is a personal friend they've known for years. So Phil Jaregi. Phil is the senior counsel and director of the Center for Judicial Renewal. Phil is an expert. I met Phil because I used to seek his advice on judicial nominations. And I got to know him because that was a huge issue for Concerned Women for America. And we just got acquainted then and have stayed. He's a gold standard, really, when it comes to recommending Supreme Court justices. And so, Phil, welcome.
Thank you, Sandy. I appreciate it.
Hey, is that true that he's a grifter, Claire Thomas, because he rode on Harlan Crowe's plane took some vacations?
The guy speaking failed to mention, he kept saying, it's secret. Well, it's not secret. He doesn't have to tell anybody where he's going and what he's doing. It's not improper. But it's funny you should mention that, because I was at a meeting with a bunch of people who were not billionaires, probably not even millionaires, 6 years ago. He was speaking at an event, Clarence Thomas was, and during dinner he was talking about his motorhome, and Jenny was there, and how much they love to travel, and he just told funny stories. He not only drives a motorhome, he fixes it. He told a story about the motorhome broke. They're at the side of the road. He tells his wife, Jenny, I'll be back in a second. He goes out back, grabs a belt out of whatever, and fixes his own motorhome and comes back in.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and one other thing, he was laughing. He said, yes, I was out in some town, and I don't know where they were, small town America, and he went to get gas and went in to pay for it. And somebody there said, you look like Clarence Thomas. So it's real. You know, that is the real man. He's as real as they get. And the stories of his own biography are amazing. He's one of the biggest treasures that we have in this nation, Clarence Thomas.
I totally agree.
For him to be trashed like that is just, that's low class.
You know what? It's also, we should say, because people don't have the history that we have.
Yeah.
When he was nominated in 94, 96, they put him through hell. Joe Biden was the head of the Senate Judiciary Committee and treated him like horrible.
Yeah.
Horribly.
Yeah.
And he would not bend. He would not break.
He made a statement I've never forgotten during that hearing. He came back in and he said, you know, I'm not going to quit. It's not about being confirmed to the court anymore. I'm not giving in to bullies. I've never liked bullies. And then later he said, the man who came into those hearings is dead, he said. That hearing had a refining effect in what Satan meant for evil to destroy him, God used for good to birth a new man. In Clarence Thomas's own words, it's one of the reasons he's such a great justice, because of the hell that he went through. And God used it like the fiery furnace to make a new man.
The biopic on him is called Created Equal. He wrote a book, and then also there's this movie. It's great. It's on PBS. It's probably on Netflix or Amazon. But I've watched it three times, and it's wonderful. Mm. Well, all that to say, and even in his opinions, he is not swayed. He just is the gold standard for what's constitutional and what isn't. So that's, I guess, why the left is after him. So, Walker, you guys started this Center for Judicial Renewal. What was the origin of that? What made you do that?
Yeah, we actually started this after the first Trump administration, after the first term of President Trump. So this wasn't in response to President Trump winning in 2016, being sworn in 2017. But this was a forward-looking project, meaning, hey, in 4 years, in 8 years, in 20 years, who's going to be at the table with the president and the Senate and others recommending judges, whether it be the Supreme Court or lower courts? And we noticed that there's been a vacancy of evangelical Christians at the table recommending names. Now, historically, and Philip's been doing this much longer than me, but historically, we've been relying on other groups, other individuals to put forth names. And then we show up at halftime and we want to, you know, debate about who's the best name, right, to be on the Supreme Court. Well, we got tired of showing up at halftime, to use a sporting analogy. We want to be there before the game starts. So that's what we're doing now. We've been doing this for over 2 years, or nearly 2 years. We're researching people and current judges, some of them, all of them attorneys, that can be on the Supreme Court, whether it be in 2 years or 5 years from now, who are the best of the best of the best in our country that love our country and love our Constitution that can serve on the judiciary. So we're looking at the Supreme Court and lower courts as well. But this, we have to be at the table, and we have to be there early with the right people to be recommended.
Well, and what's happened also, to be more specific, all these things, you know, the deciders have been giving us some really bad people who end up getting there, and they're nothing like what we thought. I would just say Amy Coney Barrett has been a huge disappointment. Was a huge disappointment to me. Now I think she's done a few things, and I'm sure there's defense of her. I'm sure she's made some good decisions, but she's not what they told us. She was like supposed to be the gold standard on life and everything. Not so much.
Sandy, I did research her extensively, and her record was the best of any I've ever seen. Okay, now what does that tell us? Well, she had not been a judge, so I continue to learn lessons, and I think Barrett's ceiling is still pretty high. I'm still trying to get through what exactly she's doing. I think she's been somewhat of a pacifist. This is something else that we're learning. A judicial activist is somebody who uses judicial power to usurp legislative power. They're not doing their job. They're exercising someone else's job. A judicial pacifist is someone who, when we need them to just be honest and exercise judicial power, like intervene in an election lawsuit to save the republic, they look for ways to get out of it.
Right.
Like the party doesn't have standing.
Chief Justice Roberts.
It's pacifism. Yeah. And I think Barrett is, because she's young and she's new and she came into such a crazy environment. By the way, she has 7 children and assassins are coming to Kavanaugh's house. I'm not making excuses for her, but I'm saying I think there are some reasons why right now she's not where we thought she could be, but her ceiling is still very high in terms of her judicial philosophy. So I think she can get there. I too have been disappointed with some of the rulings, and we can't hide that.
You know what this reminds me of? We were in an earlier meeting together. We're going to talk about that in a second. But one of the great products or endeavors of American Family Association is the iVoter Guide.
Yeah.
And we will get to that. And by the way, its iVoter Guide will help you vet candidates in your state for state offices, judges, and all that.
Sandy, can I just, one thing that I do want to say. Yep. One of the lessons we learned from Barrett is that she had not been a judge yet, or she had barely been a judge when she was nominated to the Supreme Court. One thing that we're looking for in our research is we're learning lessons. If we see something and we think we need to apply that lesson moving forward, we're doing that now. We're looking for judges who've been on the bench for longer, who have more of a history.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes we don't get it right or we get it part right. And when that happens, we need to be humble enough to admit it and adjust and do better next time.
Well, yeah. The point I was going to make with iVoter Guide is that they don't just look at the voting record or statements of positions by candidates. They look at what they have done. And that's what you're kind of doing. You're vetting more things than just decisions or papers. And I think that's really important.
I think
we have learned that, for heaven's sake. There are other factors, like in Neil Gorsuch. We've talked about that.
Yep.
He was great on paper. I think he was great on paper. But he went to a very liberal church. His wife was very liberal, but we thought he wasn't.
And on that, I know, Sandy, you don't want to spend the whole segment kind of talking about the past. I know we've got an election, right?
Oh, yeah,
right?
let's talk about it.
And we're going to get there. But to that point, AFA was one of the only conservative or evangelical groups back then in 2017 that warned about Gorsuch very early on. And even after the nomination, we were very vocal about our concerns about Gorsuch. And we were shouted down. We were called. I was actually in Cancun on vacation. And we were getting calls from other evangelical leaders saying, hey, you guys got to back off. You can't dare criticize a Trump nominee. And it was Gorsuch. And now we have Gorsuch, and he wrote Bostic, which is a terrible opinion. But we saw that well in advance. This was not breaking news to everybody. So we just have to learn. We're not going to be perfect, as Philip said. We have to learn from the past, and we have to have people with courage and conviction. What have they been tested by the fire, and how did they respond? And Clarence Thomas is really exhibit A of that.
Yeah, and Sam Alito, gosh, love him. But this kind of, people will understand this if they think about all the politicians they know who were Christians. They are Christian, and they are pro-life, and they're whatever their pamphlet says. But they get into a position. I'll be in politic here, and you, Speaker Johnson. Speaker Johnson, he's just the gold standard on paper. You know, he's an evangelical. He homeschools. But he has, until recently, and I'll get to the recently, he has not shown courage. He's caved on so many things, and it's been a gut punch. And so that's what we're saying. It can't be just technically. You're right on the issues. You have to put some pedal to the metal, and that's what you guys are doing. What do you hope that you can accomplish, Phil?
Well, what we want to accomplish, we have a green list of. We've researched about 30 now prospects for the U.S. Supreme Court, and we've put 5 of them on the green list, which ought to tell folks. We're not researching people just for fun. We're researching people that are being talked about. So if 20% of them are on our green list, that means we're keeping a very rigorous standard. But we also have a red list, Sandy, and that is to say these are people who are being talked about by other groups. There are some that we're not even talking about. But when other groups start talking about somebody prominently, then we write up reports on them and say, we're going to publish our red list, and we're going to let you know, Mr. President and other groups, here's why so-and-so shouldn't be considered, because we can't afford, if Clarence Thomas leaves the court, to have somebody take over like, God bless him, but John Roberts, or someone who just hasn't upheld the standard. If you replace Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito with someone like John Roberts, we lose a massive amount of ground. And think about the rulings we would not have. So we have to get this right. The stakes are incredibly high. We're talking about a near-lifetime appointment to the court, right? So this is why it's so important for people when you vote for president and you vote for the Senate. You can't vote for a Supreme Court justice, but you can support AFA, and you can also vote for a president and a Senate who are going to make the decisions to make sure that we get a great replacement whenever Clarence Thomas decides to retire. I hope that'll be a long time, because he's so wonderful, too. But we need to replace him with great people.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, there's a lot at stake in the election, not the least of which, you know, we should say that the president, if we haven't said that and if people don't know, is the one who appoints Supreme Court justices and other judges too. And so that's, and we can see in our courts, we see from how they've been treating conservatives in the courts, in D.C. especially, but not just that, in Washington State and Oregon and all, how important judges are. They've become tyrannical, which was the thing our founders did not want.
They did
not want tyranny.
And thank God we have a court right now that, for all their weaknesses at times, they have done very, very well in dealing with this abuse of the criminal justice system to go after political opponents.
Yeah.
They've done a really good job this past year. And had they not, we'd be in a whole lot worse spot.
You're talking about SCOTUS.
The U.S. Supreme Court.
One thing I want to mention, Sandy, is that the left has had the Supreme Court and the lower courts as well largely captured for a couple of decades at least. And it hasn't been until recently, probably the last 4 to 6 years, ever since 2017, that conservatives and constitutionalists began to have a say at the Supreme Court. And so the left understands that they have lost, that the Supreme Court is not captured anymore by the Marxists. And they understand that. And this is why the pressure campaign of demeaning, belittling, and discrediting the Supreme Court is so high pressure at this moment, is because the left understands this is their last branch of government that isn't captured. So there's so much at stake here beyond just president or U.S. Senate. We're talking about whether the Marxists are going to recapture the Supreme Court in 5 or 10 years from now. And the ramifications, we're talking about lifetime appointments, 20 or 30 years, sometimes longer in certain instances. So if you want to talk about blocking the left from capturing a entire branch of government, this election has to do with that.
There's one more thing about that. There is a move all over the world to take over countries through the democratic process. And so the pattern seems to be that Maduro in Venezuela gets elected. Castro kind of came up with this plan at the Sao Paulo Forum, because they used to do revolutions in South America and a lot of bloodshed, and that's how they took power. He said, why didn't they met in Cuba after Russia fell, and they had a discussion. How could we do this more effectively? Let's work through the democratic process and get elected democratically. And then we will disband the court. And I believe Maduro's case, I believe it was Maduro who actually had a couple of the justices killed. They just got rid of them. And then they disbanded the parliament, whatever term they use for theirs. And then they, took over the businesses. That's how they worked. And so I don't think we can be assured that we'll have a court in 10 years if they take over. I don't think they'll mess with it. Why would they? And so that's why right now, this is really important. We've got to, first of all, the election, the election. And so with that, Walker, AFA has started a series of presentations called AFA at Home. And what is the idea? You tell them. What are you trying to do?
AFA at Home began really post-COVID, really in the middle of COVID, to be honest, because everyone was at home. The traditional going to the theater or going to church to watch a film, that had waned. So we wanted to deliver content, and DVDs are, fortunately or unfortunately, are becoming a thing of the past. So this idea of delivering video content directly to people's homes through online streaming is what we decided to go with to reach people. So this is our sixth episode. We just recorded it recently. It's going to air on October 17th and be available for free up until the election. But this series is aimed at educating people on issues of biblical significance, and in this case, the election and what's at stake. So we just want to educate people. It's an honest roundtable type discussion. We've got questions we want to ask and answers we want to put out, but it's really an open conversation with AFA personalities and allies in the movement of where we are and where we're going and what Christians need to do to make a difference.
So we should talk about the one we just, I was here to, I'm here in Tupelo because you invited me to be part of it. And Phil also, and Debbie Withrow?
With Nell,
who is the brain, and she's got a big one.
Yes.
Behind the iVoter Guide. And the iVoter Guide, you want to say more about that?
Yeah.
Just give them, because I've mentioned it, but I hadn't really explained it too much.
Yeah, about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, AFA Action acquired iVoter Guide. So we had been allies for over a decade, going back to my grandfather, Don Wildman, and Richard Ford from Texas. And so we thought, this is a great tool. Let's bring it under the AFA and the AFA Action umbrella, and we can reach millions of people with it. And we have. We reached over 7 million in the 2020 cycle.
Wow.
And we're aiming for over 10 million voters impacted in this cycle. So we're talking about flipping entire districts and states with this iVoter Guide. But it's the most expansive, detailed voter guide that's on the market. There's just nothing else like it because of the resources and money it takes to conduct the research and publish all the information. So we're covering statewide, federal, even some local school board races. Over 600 school board candidates we're evaluating. So iVoterGuide.com is that URL. iVoterGuide.com is that URL. It's very user-friendly. You just key in your address. Your personalized ballot will come up with all the information about the candidate. So this is a new endeavor for AFA and AFA Action, but Lord willing, in the long haul, it's going to make a huge impact.
I want to ask both of you something that we talked about earlier off the air. We could have a whole show on this, but I'd just be curious your response. If you, Phil, so many Christians don't vote. So many Christians are not even registered to vote. The amount is, I can't remember, it's a huge amount, like 30 million, something like that. Just they don't bother. And it's a problem because we could be salt and light in this country. We've really advocated, and we see the result of it. So, I just made the case, but why should Christians, practically speaking, why should they vote? They're happy, really. They're going to church. They're in their Bible studies. Their pastor's not talking about this for the most part. There are exceptions. And things are going well. And many of them think, well, God is sovereign, and I don't want to get involved in that because politics is, fill in the blank. Why should they vote this time?
Yeah, I think it's a stewardship issue because we can vote in this nation. Jesus' disciples couldn't. They lived in a country that was taken over by a foreign power. That might happen here if we don't vote. So we can vote. We can impact our government, and we have to be good stewards. We're called to love our neighbors, and the government and the laws that they make has a massive impact on us and our neighbors, doesn't it? I mean, you see everything that's happening. Transgender surgeries on minors, for one thing, is just horrendous. I mean, this is like Nazi Germany, what we're talking about in the United States right now, And if we don't vote and have a voice in our government, it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And if you don't care about your children, God told us to love our neighbors. So what about your neighbor's children? What about the poor family across town that can't send their kids to private school, right? They're suffering. So we need to vote. And we need to get off the couch, and we need to not only vote, we need to make sure that everybody in our family votes. We can't make them, but we can encourage them and say, hey, guys, what do you need? You need to vote. Your friends. Voting, to me, is the bare minimum, Sandy. We shouldn't have to be telling people vote. We should be telling them vote and take everybody you know to the polls. And let me just say this. If you haven't been voting, there's no shame. Repent of it. It's a sin. You're being a bad steward.
Yeah.
Repent of it. Get registered. Go to iVoter Guide. It's very, very simple. You may say, well, I'll be embarrassed. Where do I go to register? Go to iVoter Guide. They'll help you get registered. You can. This will be your first election if you haven't voted, or your first in a long time, or maybe you vote half the time. Get there to vote today, because it has a massive impact on the future of our country. Sandy, as you talked about, we're not guaranteed that freedom will continue. You know, you can look at Venezuela. You can look at nations throughout the history of the world. Brazil. Yeah. I mean, there are plenty
England.
Of examples. So don't
Scotland.
Just sit back and think Jesus is going to come back. Let's let this thing get ugly.
Well, and to that point, Philip and Sandy, there's honestly, I want to call this out for what it is. There's really a strain of apocalyptic philosophy and theology in the evangelical community, and it's this. This mentality of Jesus is coming back, which is a fact. We don't know when. No man knows the day or the time. That's what Scripture says. But, you know, it's all going to burn in the end, and things are going to progressively worsen. So I'm going to hunker down and, you know, ride this thing out, to use kind of like a war storm analogy.
Keep my head down.
Here's the problem, folks, that we don't know the day nor the time. That's what Scripture says. And there are generations past that they thought they were living in the end times, and really we're all living in the end times if you read Scripture. So the urgency ought to be there, but we should not neglect our duty in the here and now, because who knows what time frame God is working on. He could wait 500 years to come back. He could wait another 1,000. The reality is that we don't know. And either way, even if he's coming back in 10 years from now, sitting on the sidelines and being lazy and a poor steward is not an excuse, no matter what the time frame is. So we've just got to be active and involved and be salt and light. And I always tell people, whether it's voting or helping your neighbor, we're called to be salt and light. So disengagement and pacifism is really, it's not on the multiple point checklist.
You know, I was just thinking about, there's a story in Acts when, you know, they were very close to Jesus' ascension. Here they are meeting, and he tells them he's going to come again. He laid out in Matthew 24 the future. And so some people didn't think they should have to do anything, and they just sat.
Some of the apostles.
Well,
they wanted to stay in Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah, until he comes.
Yeah, yeah. He told them to go into all the earth and spread the gospel. Some of the apostles thought Jesus is coming back to Jerusalem, like, in a week or two or a year. They didn't talk specific time frame, but to your point, they didn't want to go out. They didn't want to go out. They wanted to stay in the Holy Land until Jesus returned, but he ended up bringing about persecution, which helped the gospel advance. But yeah, to your point, from the very early on, that's been a topic of discussion.
And one, Peter, I believe it was Peter, who said, get up. You know, we don't know exactly what his words were. Get up and get busy. And he said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Mm-hmm. It's basically what he told him. So, I mean, there's really, Scripture does teach that you cannot sit on your hands. And I just think, practically speaking, surely most people understand the repercussions on our children. I think it helps to understand that we have a family. Like, you're a Wildman, and there's a bunch of you,
yes,
you know,
and, a lot of Wildman
kids. You guys are really close, and you protect each other, and you defend each other, and that's as it should be. We take care of our family. That's scriptural.
Yeah.
But America is our family also. Our neighbors and friends, regardless of their color, their economic status, last name, they are our neighbors. We grew up together. This is our land, our country. We have to take care of our family. And our family is under attack. It's getting invaded by millions of I would just say jihadis, Chinese military. I talk about this on the show, so I don't really need to explain, I don't think, to people that listen. We are in great danger. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me, those of you listening, I know, listen, if you listen to my show, you're not this, but some of your friends might be. If you're in great danger and your kids are in great danger and you just sit on the couch and switch the channel and, you know, think it'll be okay, then what's the difference? What's the difference? I've said before, there are thousands of Chinese military coming into San Diego. They are coming on these boats. The boats, like, bump up on the shore. They scramble out, climb up this hill, this, like, embankment. This is a neighborhood they come into. The video I saw, a woman's pushing her baby carriage, and she stops, and she looks, and these black SUVs come, and these guys scramble and get in the black SUVs, and they're gone. And this has been happening. I don't know how many thousands have come in San Diego. So you're watching this. This is your country. And you tell me that you can't vote because voting for the right person will shut that off, will secure the border, and will expel a lot of the enemies that have managed to come within. Even that alone, to me, is reason to vote, besides all the moral issues that we talk about.
I want to mention one more thing, Sandy, that we should expect, if we move forward and do the right thing, whether it's at the national level in Washington, D.C., or at the state level or local level, there's going to be resistance. And really, the period of comfortability in America is over, at least for the foreseeable future. Yep. Can we return to a sense of normalcy and decency in this country? Maybe, if that's the Lord's desire. But this is a deep, dark spiritual battle. And so we ought not expect this to be an easy road. Like, I'm going to vote, and then things are going to be easy. I'm going to do the right things, and things
God's are going to bless me, and I'm going to live happily ever after.
That's right. Yeah, this is a very deep, dark spiritual battle that we're in, and we need to be willing to count the cost.
That's absolutely true, Walker.
And we need a new wineskin. This idea that we can go back to where we were 4, 5, 10 years ago, it ain't happening.
Yeah.
You know, we can be good stewards of where we are and make sure that the future is good, and it can be wonderful, but it's going to be a new wineskin. This hope, we just wanted to go back to normal. Quit thinking we're going back. Go vote, get involved, and let's be good stewards of our country.
You know, Walker, I heard you tell a story about someone who told you they weren't going to vote. You want to tell that story?
Yeah.
Because I think it's typical of a lot of people.
Yeah, this was following the 2020 election. Everybody was upset about the shenanigans and the irregularities and the dishonesty around the election in 2020. So this was probably January, February of 2021. And this gentleman, a local guy, he's a born-again believer, faithful attender of church, and good family man. He just said, you know what, Walker, I've been keeping up with this politics stuff and the whole election, and, you know, I'm just done with it. I'm just burnt out. I mean, he said, I might vote in some local stuff, but this whole national Washington, D.C. thing, I'm just fed up with it. And he said, I'm not even going to tune in anymore. It's just exhausting. And while, you know, we don't agree with anything having to do with disengagement. Clearly, if you listen to the show, we're all about engagement and transformation because that's what God calls us to. But I could sympathize with how he was feeling, right? I mean,
I think we all can.
We get tired, we get worn out, and we're like, is this really worth it? And so we have to encourage people that it is worth it. It is worth it to do the right thing. So that's just a testimony I heard, and we just have to combat any sense of complacency or sideline sitting with the truth, and the truth is that we're called to do the right thing.
Well, and this reminds me, through the years, and most, you know, pretty current years, I've talked to military vets, like, let's say, guys that served in Afghanistan, and they'd say something like, look what happened. Look, I went over there, and I fought. I worked so hard, I've lost buddies. And they'll describe, you know, it was for nothing. I did all of that for nothing. It was worthless. And I've had other stories like that, like the COVID thing, when guys started, you know, being thrown out of the military, and there was provision for their families. They were treated so terribly. Mm. And, you know, I had a young captain who called me on the air, and he just had 5 kids, and it's such a sad story how the military treated him because he didn't want to get the COVID vaccine. Same thing. It's, why did I do all this? I spent 15 years of my life, and my answer always is, just exactly what you said, but just to remind people that Christians, because this makes no sense to any other kind of people, that we do what's right no matter. We just stay the course. We do, we stand, and having done all, we stand. You know, we stand on righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, and the sword of the Spirit, and we do our job, because that's what God looks at as he evaluates us, is who we were in those circumstances. And I don't know about anybody else, but I want to be faithful.
Yes.
I want to be faithful. I'm worried about being smart and outthinking it. That's a dumb thing to do, you know, because I lost my life or whatever, you know, or I lost my job. I don't want to think that way. We are not smart like the world. We are, what, wiser than serpents and harmless as doves? Mm. And it has its consequences. But God does care for us in ways we cannot measure. Yeah. But I think hard times are ahead. So in conclusion, a couple of things. iVoter Guide will equip you. iVoterGuide.com, and that will give you all the information you need about candidates in your state. 36 states, I think you guys have.
Yeah, that's federal, right? And statewide, but we're covering all 50 federal races.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Congress, okay. Senate, and White House.
Okay, and then AFA at Home, the show that we just did, and tell them who was part of that panel.
Yeah, so, of course, yourself, Sandy Rios, Philip Dragius, who's in with us, myself, I was the MC. We also brought in Debbie Wethnow with iVoterGuide, and Jameson Taylor with AFA Action, and then lastly Rick Green, of which you hear he and I host the show each week at the Core on AFR. But there were six of us total. A lot of the AFA personalities that you hear every now and then on American Family Radio, but really great lineup. But the content was the richest part. Is we in this episode, which airs on October 17th, folks can find it on all of our video platforms, but we really brought people up to speed on how we got here over the last, let's say, 4 to 6 years, and where we're going, depending on how this election turns out. So we spent about an hour talking about the 2024 election, November 5th, Election Day, why you should vote. And I think it's really going to hopefully energize people to show up at the ballot box.
Some people are hearing what you just said, and they're saying, how do I, you know, stream? How do I get AFA streaming? I mean, how do I do that? And how would I find that?
So how would they find that? We're going to do something new with this episode. We're going to make it available on all of our social media platforms for free. So if you follow American Family Association on Facebook, on X, formerly Twitter, all the major platforms, social media platforms, we're going to post the full AFA at Home episode there that they can watch on all of AFA's social media platforms, and also on stream.afa.net. We'll post a full episode there. So we're not holding back on this. We're not giving just certain people access. The election is so important. We want this video to go out to anyone and everyone who will share it.
Phil, last word from you. What would you say to pastors who don't? I know this is not you are an attorney and you specialize in judicial nominations, but you're a smart guy and you're a strong Christian. So, and you have a pastor, right? What would you say to pastors who don't want to get involved? They still want to get involved.
Jesus's command to us was go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is the part I would emphasize, teaching them to obey all that Christ commanded. Some pastors only want to talk about how to get to heaven. But the Lord has left us here for a reason, you know, whether it's days or decades, to have an impact and to make disciples, but to teach people. Here's what the gospel says, but here's what the gospel says about the environment that you live in. What is truth? What is sexual truth? What does the Bible say about economics? The Bible doesn't just tell us about how to get to heaven. It speaks to every area of our lives. And so making a real disciple of Christ is teaching them all that Jesus commanded. And so pastors need to do that. And I understand how it's difficult because that's been neglected over a few years. And when that happens, people come into church that haven't been told what the Bible says about these topics. So it gets difficult, but it's time to return to making full disciples of Christ.
And I always say that the law is a teacher leading men to God. God's principles on these issues leads men to Christ because it's truth.
Yep.
It's pretty amazing.
And people are hungry for it too, Sandy.
They are.
They're not getting the answers sometimes, and they're searching. And when a pastor like Gary Hamrick and others stand up in church and they speak to the needs that people have of what's happening, people love it and they need it. They're hungry for it.
And one last thing, I always say to pastors, the people in your pews are desperate. They've got children in school. they're facing all these dilemmas and you won't talk about it? You won't talk about it? You are not shepherding your flock. You must. So, all right, I think we've preached enough, haven't we? Ari Filgeragi, Senior Counsel and Director of the Center for Judicial Renewal, and Walker Wildman, Vice President of the American Family Association and CEO of AFA Action. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Walker.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Some of you are, you know, you have more finances than others. We're not all the same. Some of you are struggling, but others of you still have good resources. And if you have those kinds of resources, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, and that would reach 200 babies and their moms. To donate, just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from the morning show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes that we have decided to re-engage with the daily news on Sandy Rios 24/7, as we once did in the mornings. I want to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. Just go to AFR.net or any podcast platform. You can also find Sandy Rios 24/7 at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, a fun thing. My book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now on Audible. Sometimes listening is better than reading. I recorded it in my own voice, which makes it even more personal for all of you who know me so well. Audible books are available on Amazon.com. God bless each and every one of you for your faithfulness to Him. My prayer is that as we stand together in this battle, we can finish well.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
I think it's just a campaign of harassment against the Supreme Court in order to try to undermine public confidence, and I think it's dangerous, frankly.
It's absurd. And to threaten funding, I mean, that, remember, they're an independent branch of government. I mean, they have life appointments.
This would be an unconstitutional overreach. This would undermine the court's ability to operate effectively, and it's been a continued effort by our friends on the Democratic side to undermine a court they don't like.
Well, those were Republican senators. You heard Lindsey Graham, that last one. That was also Josh Hawley. And I think John Cornyn was the first one. And they're talking about this whole move to try to harass and limit the conservative judges. They won't say this. The left won't say it, but that is what it is. From voting on things that they don't want them to vote for. Like if any cases, appeals come before January 6ers, that they will not be able to vote, meaning Justice Thomas and Justice Alito and others. It's a plot to neutralize the court or to stack it in a way that we won't describe. And that's just part of what's at stake here, because the Supreme Court is not that big, nine justices, and it's the president who actually appoints justices. You know that. And we've been talking about that today. So you have to think really hard and fast about who you want to be president, just in this regard alone. Kamala Harris, I don't know who she wants for the court, but I know she's thinking about Keith Ellison for attorney general. Keith Ellison is an activist Muslim in Minnesota, a nightmare. So this is what we have ahead of us if we don't take this election seriously. And remember that you can go to the iVoter Guide. If you don't know who, you don't their background, you can go to iVoterGuide.com. It'll tell you where to go for your polling place. You can register to vote there if you haven't done that. And it will tell you about your senators, your congressmen. It gives you a great history of their record, where they stand, who's supporting them. It gives you a really good idea of who you might want to vote for. And of course, it's not just them, it's judges. It's sometimes local county races or state races. It is state races. So it's a wonderful tool, and AFA is happy to bring that to you, iVoterGuide.com. Now, one other thing, you know, we are out from the election a bit. It isn't just a matter of voting. That's really very important. But it's also a matter of, this is a little bit foreign sometimes to conservatives, especially Christians. We guard our money. Most of us are not rich. There aren't a lot of rich evangelicals. There are some, but not many. And so it's kind of foreign to us to give to political candidates, because we're giving to missions and other kinds of things. Nothing wrong with that. But you might want to think this year about actually giving your financial support. And I'll tell you, if you live in a state where you think it's hopeless, we've got terrible senators, my money won't make any difference whatsoever, and my vote won't make a difference, you are and can support candidates in other states. There are lots of great Senate candidates. I could think of seven or eight right now from various states. If you're not sure who, go to Senate Conservatives Fund. Senate Conservatives Fund, they'll give you a list of the best conservative candidates. And it's possible for conservatives to take over the Senate this year. But the problem is they're underfunded. The left is pouring millions in for ads and all of this stuff. And so if you would be willing to give some money to help a candidate that you think you'd really like, I have several in mind that I like, that would be helpful. Or if you have no money to give, you could call the campaign and say, I want to help you. I live in, I don't know, Chicago, but I want to help Kerry Lake in Arizona. What do you need? Can I make phone calls? Listen, I'll come out there. I'll grab a ride with someone, and I'll walk the precincts. Whatever you need me to do, I'll do that. You can do that, and you can do that for people in the Congress, too. And I suggest the House Freedom Fund. They're the ones that have vetted and are supporting really great candidates who are, like, really, really trustworthy based on their record and their life, to be elected to be in the House, to move the ball along down the court. We need to change things, don't we? And these are things you can actually do. All right, well, listen, I do appreciate you listening. I know this is a lot of information. And from the bottom of my heart, I thank you for listening and for doing, even as you listen. You know, you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write me at sandy@afr.net. You can listen to the broadcast on any podcast. Any podcast platform, Spotify, Amazon, Apple, whatever you use. Also, AFR.net is our home base. And you can go to sandyrios.com. That's my website. And you can go there and find the podcast as well. But first, I want to say thank you to our sponsors, Timothy Plan, where you can put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you. Thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.